Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Open the door to huge savings now at Menards. Enhance the appearance of your home with a new stylish garage door. Choose from our large in-stock selection of ideal garage doors or design your own using our free garage door designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big and ideal garage doors. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
The market's uncertain. Revenue's tight and hiring on hold. That's why results-driven companies are using Upwork to keep work moving. Go to Upwork.com today and start hiring proven freelance talent fast. No bulky overhead. No rigid long-term contracts. Just the right expert right when you need them. Work smarter and faster with Upwork. Go to Upwork.com now and find your freelance expert. That's UPWORK.com. Post a job for free and get started today.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the Rust shooting trial against Alec Baldwin from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now back to the courtroom.
As I was saying, officer, did you learn at the scene whether or not Sarah was going through the bullets and saying, I don't know how it got there? Did you learn that information? Do you recall?
I don't remember. If you could refresh my memory to which part, which
sure.
Person said what.
I'll record.
Okay.
That refresh your recollection.
It appears it's a recording type out of what my body-worn camera recorded, yes.
Okay. And when you learned this information, did you do anything with that information?
To be honest, that's the first time I've heard it in that detail. Body cameras pick up more audio than our ears do.
Okay. You also testified that the gentleman in the orange jacket came up to you and said, Alec pulled the trigger, or words to that effect. Remember that testimony?
That's what he said, yes.
Yeah, and you know that witness has stated absolutely he did not see him pull the trigger, correct?
At that point, I didn't know if he said that or not.
Okay. And then I just want to ask you about one other thing we talked about this morning. Was I asked you about your testimony on direct that Mr. Baldwin was effectively disobeying police orders. Do you remember that testimony on direct?
Yes.
And over the lunch break, have you had a chance to reflect on that testimony?
Sure. Okay.
Do you think it's a fair, honestly, sir, a fair character to this jury to say that Mr. Baldwin was disobeying?
He was given an order, but I didn't repeatedly tell him not to. As on my back.
And so don't you think that given what actually happened at the scene, that really, in all fairness to Mr. Baldwin, wasn't really disobeying police orders, was he, sir?
To an extent, yes.
You were the first officer on scene.
Yes.
You did your best, no question, right?
Yes.
And you're aware, right, because a lot of this testimony I'm not going to get into, you're aware, as you sit here, that the issue of Ms. Hutchins passing is not a contested issue by the defense. You know that?
Yes.
And you did sort of corral the witnesses, I think you said, right?
Yes.
And then after you did that, you turned them over, in essence, to the lead detective.
Yes.
Okay. And he interviewed those witnesses, right?
Yes.
Okay. And do you know if he's testifying for the state in this case?
I don't know.
Do you know how the live bullet got on set?
I do not.
Do you know why the armorer loaded the live bullet into the pop gun?
I do not.
Do you know why the first assistant director, head of safety, failed to detect
it? I do not.
I have no further questions for this witness.
You know what? Let me do this. Where is the defense exhibit DX?
This is, I think, there are three copies.
Officer LaFleur, let's back up a little bit, okay? Did I speak with you this morning about the testimony you were going to give?
No, ma'am.
Did Ms. Johnson speak to you this morning about the testimony you were going to give?
No, ma'am.
When was the last time someone from the prosecution spoke to you about the testimony you were going to give today?
I don't believe we've talked about the testimony I was going to give, but just about the pretrial interview.
So you mentioned a pretrial interview. So let me ask you, do you recall when your pretrial interview was? Would it refresh your memory if I showed you a copy of the transcript?
Yeah. Let me know.
Officer, when was your pretrial interview?
In May.
And do you recall who was there?
Somebody from the defense and somebody from the state.
Someone from the defense?
It was a female.
Okay, so just to be clear, at your pretrial interview, it wasn't the state just speaking to you. The defense attorneys were there also, right? And they got to ask you almost all the questions, isn't that right?
Yes, if I can recall, the state didn't have anything to ask.
So the prosecutors didn't ask you a single question?
Not that I can remember.
Do you agree with the defense attorney's assertion this morning that somehow you were coached to give your testimony?
Can you rephrase that question?
Did Mr. Spiro indicate to you on cross-examination did he attempt to imply that the prosecution had told you how to testify?
Essentially, it sounded like he asked if I was coached to know my testimony.
But the prosecutors haven't actually told you what to testify to, have they?
No.
You were asked several questions on cross-examination about the statement that you made that it didn't seem like Mr. Baldwin intended to commit the act. Do you recall those questions?
Yes.
Do you know what the crime that Mr. Baldwin is charged with?
I believe involuntary manslaughter.
Is involuntary manslaughter an intentional homicide?
Not to my recollection of the New Mexico State's death.
Are there criminal offenses that are intentional homicides?
Yes.
But that's not what Mr. Baldwin's charged with, right?
No.
Officer LaFleur, when you are speaking to a witness, when you were, in fact, speaking to witnesses at the scene, you collected their driver's licenses, didn't you? And what do you do when you collect the driver's license? Do you run it through a system?
I put it in our computer system, run it by driver's license and state. It's easier than name and date of birth.
Is Defendant's Exhibit H, does that contain information about their driver's licenses?
Yes. It appeared that it was a page that showed each person's license being inputted and the return that came back from RACC or NCIC.
So I'm going to go ahead and show you what is page 3 of that. What do we call it? Is it a CAD report? So let me back up for a moment. What does CAD stand for? Do you remember?
I don't know the exact exactly what it stands for, no, but it's a reporting system that we use. Dispatches us through.
So this is this a dispatch log?
Yes.
Smaller and smaller. I'm not sure what to do. You see, at the top of the page, do you see number 16? There's a 16 and then there's a parenthesis. What does it say? What does posted speed limit and actual have to do with this incident?
I'm not too sure. It looks like the individual who ran it, their name, I don't know who that is.
Well, that's okay. Does this have anything to do with the incident involving Ms. Hutchins?
No.
So I want to take you down here to number 5, parentheses. What does that say?
It says non-commercial class, code D.
What is that person talking about? Does it have anything to do with the shooting of Ms. Hutchins?
No, that's the return that came back for a driver's license, it appears.
That's the return that came back for a driver's license? Is that what you said?
That's what it appears like, yeah.
Let's go down to number 10. You see that?
Yes.
What does that say?
Accident quantity.
Keep reading.
3 withdrawal. It looks like it's going to say withdrawal.
Does that have anything to do with this incident?
No.
And look, I want you to look down here at number 21. See that?
Yes.
What does that say?
Of alcohol or drugs.
That you're aware of? Does that have anything to do with this incident?
No.
Let's jump down to number 26. 6. What does that say?
Objection, relevance, cue.
Go ahead, sir.
Says drinking and driving at .0.
Did you read it all?
Yeah, per se. I think that's what it's saying at the beginning. Dash, drinking and driving at .0. I think the next line is the blood alcohol content, BAC.
Were you dispatched to a DWI?
No.
Let's have a look at page 5. Do you see up here number 23?
23 is cut off on my
screen.
Yeah. Of alcohol or drugs.
Was this an incident that was related to alcohol or drugs?
Not that I'm aware.
Let's jump down here, if you would, to number 10. Do you see that?
It says accidental quantity, 0 at all.
Does that have anything to do with this incident? Why are we seeing that language?
What NCIC return gives our CAD, as you can see, it's all within the same 10th of a second. So it's generated by the computer system itself.
So I've now turned the page to page 6. Do you see 10 there where it says 10 parentheses?
Accidental quantity, 0 withdrawal.
Is the word accident reflective of Ms. Hutchins being shot on accident?
No.
Is the word accident in that report, does it appear anywhere where it's talking about what happened to Ms. Hutchins?
No, right here it's just a bunch of returns.
Excuse next witness.
The state calls you.
Come in, come over here.
Your Honor, the state calls Timoteo Benavides.
Do you swear a firm under penalty of law?
Sorry, Major.
Sorry,
do you swear a firm under penalty of law that the testimony you'll give in this case will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? All right, have a seat, talk into the microphone.
Good afternoon, Mr. Benavides. Would you please introduce yourself to the members of the jury?
My name's Timoteo Benavides.
And sir, on October 21st, 2021, how were you employed?
I was employed by the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office as a lieutenant.
And are you still employed with the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Department?
I am not.
And why not?
I retired doing 20 years of law enforcement for Santa Fe County.
And what was your rank when you retired?
Lieutenant.
And on October 21st, 2021, were you working?
Yes, I was.
And what were your duties that day?
That day, I was a day shift commander, which entails taking care of Santa Fe County during the day and the 7 deputies we had.
How large is Santa Fe County?
It's pretty big. It goes from the city limits of Espanola to all the way to I-40 down in Edgewood and to Pecos and then to the off-ramp to Cochiti.
You said you were commander that day. What does that mean? What duties did that entail?
I'm pretty much in charge of the county on what happens and responsible for the deputies that are working.
On that day at approximately 1:48, did you receive a dispatch to a call?
Yes, I did.
And what was that call for service about?
The call of service was on a movie set for an accidental shoot.
Okay. And where was that located?
It was located at the Bonanza Creek Movie Ranch.
Okay. And is that in Santa Fe County?
It is in Santa Fe County.
Okay. In New Mexico?
In the state of New Mexico, yes.
And do you recall approximately what time you arrived?
I was dispatched about 1:50. I didn't arrive till almost 12. I think it was like 2:20.
Why did it take you a while to arrive?
I was pretty much on the other side of the county when the dispatch call came.
Now, when you arrived, do you recall what you observed?
When I arrived, there was a security guard at the gate. And he told us that he was going to drive us into the movie set where the incident happened.
Were other deputies already there when you arrived?
Deputy LaFleur was already on scene from what I heard over the radio. And I had, at the time, Corporal Daretami literally in front of me when we got
there. Were there other first responders present when you arrived on scene?
Yes, there was. There was already medics on scene when I arrived.
Were you wearing your police uniform?
I was in full uniform, displaying my badge of office at the time.
And were you equipped with a lapel camera? Are you familiar or were you familiar with how your lapel camera works?
Yes.
And how does it work?
As soon as I activated my lights and sirens, my lapel goes off right away and it starts recording from as soon as I activated my lights and sirens.
And how long does your lapel camera record?
It records until I stop it or until it runs out of battery.
And how does your video that's captured on your lapel camera upload it? How's it preserved? Do you know?
Yes. At the time it's uploaded, we as deputies, we don't have no control how we show up to the sheriff's office and it downloads automatically from our I take off my lapel, I put it in a docking station in my unit, and everything downloads into the sheriff's room server.
On October 21st, 2021, did your lapel camera capture what you observed when you arrived on scene at the Bonanza Creek Ranch?
Yes, it did.
And what did you do with your lapel camera after you left the scene?
When I completed my duties on that scene, I put it in my docking station, which is also a charger, and I proceeded to the sheriff's office so it could dock.
Now, have you viewed your lapel camera video since October 21st, 2021?
Yes, I have.
And in fact, did you view a portion of it this morning before you testified?
Yes, I did.
And did I show you State's Exhibit Number 5 earlier this morning?
Yes.
And what was that?
It was pretty much the beginning from when I activated my lights and sirens to the end.
What was it, the entire thing to the end, or was it part of it?
Part of it. It was not the entire thing because I did stop it several times to talk to commanders and deputies, and then I reacted.
And how long is your entire lapel camera video?
I arrived on scene about 2:20, and I didn't leave till almost 8:30 that night.
So State's Exhibit 1 is just a portion of your lapel camera?
That is correct.
Excuse me, video?
Yes.
After you viewed it, did you notice if it's been modified or changed in any way?
It has not.
Your Honor, I would move into evidence State's Exhibit Number 5.
Sorry, Major. What's going on?
They said that they...
Pause it there. Is that your lapel camera video, Mr. Benavides? I'm going to forward it. How long does it take you to drive? How long are we going to watch you driving? So I'm going to fast forward a little bit here to about 15 minutes.
En route to
Hey, I got one shot in the chest. One shot in the chest. And one shot in the chest. And one another shot in the stomach.
So you have two victims up there?
Two
Are you still driving?
I am still driving.
Now, I've fast-forwarded to 15 minutes and 59 seconds. Have you arrived on scene yet?
Yes, I could see the makeshift church right in front.
We're going to secure the film and all the crew members.
Why did you say you're going to secure the film and all the crew members?
Pretty much common sense. I'm not on scene yet, but I'm trying to picture everything that was going on, and maybe the film caught it.
Can you describe for the members of the jury, when you're pulling up to this church, what does it look like? How many people are you actually seeing?
So this scene was probably the biggest scene I've been to. There was people everywhere. I had medics running in and out. From what I saw from the back of the church, there was medics going to their vehicles, grabbing items, and there was just people everywhere. As in people, I mean, I couldn't distinguish who it was. It was actors, it was film personnel, bystander. I didn't know, but there was a lot of people there.
Do you know if some of those, if those people were people who worked on the set?
Yes, I you could distinguish them. They had a lot of sunblock on, a lot of hats, big hats for the sun. So that's pretty much how I noticed that.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
I have like 200 people out here, so.
Alrighty, I'll see if.
Yes, I already called for them. Okay.
Happening at this excuse me at this point.
So as soon as I walked into the makeshift church, Deputy LaFleur started to let me know what was happening and what was going on with the
victim. How would you describe this scene as soon as you walked into the church?
The medics were doing a wonderful job. They had separated each other and they were working on the victim.
How many victims did you have?
I saw two on the ground. Corporal, I need you to know who's in charge. Everybody stops what they're doing right now. This is a crime scene.
Yeah. Did you say this was a crime scene?
Because we had two victims, Helena and Joel, fighting for their life on the ground. And it wasn't natural. This is a movie scene. And it was now a crime scene. We had to figure out what happened.
So what directives are you giving the other deputies?
So I'm letting them know. I let Corporal Aldaleta know to have whoever's in charge have everybody stop what they're doing, because there was no more film. If they were, I did not know. And so we could try to control
what everybody stops what they're doing, and I need the film secured by whoever's in charge of the.
Yes. He's...
Or anything else when you were out there speaking with those people?
Yes, I asked who was in charge to help me out, and then I asked Corporal Deretta to start taking pictures.
Did you ask for anything else?
Not that I...
Hey, I need pictures right away. Where's the props guy?
Why did you ask for pictures?
I have my lapel on, which captures a lot, but the pictures would capture detailed that's on the floor that you can't really tell from my lapel.
And you just said that you asked for the props guy. Why did you ask for the props guy?
I work security for in the sheriff's office at movie sets. The props guy is the guy that does the little stuff with sound effects or whatever. I asked for the props guy because I needed to find out where the gun
was. Why was it important to find out where the gun was?
Because I didn't need the gun going off or getting used again on somebody else.
And did you find the gun?
I had somebody... Yes, I did find the gun.
Where did you find the gun?
Hannah Gutierrez had the gun walking out of the movie
set. And who did you understand Hannah Gutierrez to be?
Props guy, yeah!
Yes,
they're taking care of business. Yes, what else do you need there, Chief?
Yeah. Where's my radio? It's just here.
Going at this point,
being directed by a gentleman, I assume who is a person in charge, to look for the gun. I did not find it there.
There's one there, and there's one there. That's none of them.
That's not
okay. I need to know where it is.
Are pointing at with this gentleman here?
There was guns laid in the open on the cart. On this gray card.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibits number 7 and number 8. May I approach you?
Yes, Your Honor. I would move into evidence 7 and 8, but I'll publish it in a second. I'm going to finish the video. Thanks.
Trying to look for the armor.
You're in charge, ma'am. I need to know where the guns are right now.
Yes. Joe, bro, armor, I need to know where the guns are at.
Right there. How do I know this is a gun?
That's the gun.
Okay.
That is. And who is she?
She's the armor on set.
And did you obtain anything from her?
Yes, I did. I obtained a revolver she was carrying.
And what did you understand that revolver to be?
To be the revolver that shot the projectile into these two victims.
May I have a minute, Your Honor, bring up Exhibit 6. All right. State's Exhibit 6 is going to be handed to you, Mr. Benavides. You could put on some gloves and just open it and let us know if you recognize what's in State's Exhibit 6.
Correct me if I'm misstating, the video does not have the time of date on it, so they're going to elicit that from the witness, okay?
Let's go back, Mr. Benavides.
Do you recall approximately what time it was when you actually arrived on scene?
It was 2:20, 2:30.
Do you have a specific recollection of the time or not?
I do not.
Would reviewing the CAD refresh your memory?
Yes, it would.
May I approach, Your Honor? I'm going to show you what's been marked as defendants and admitted DX-8.
For the record, I think it's now.
Do you recognize that?
Yes, it's a dispatch log.
If you could review it and let us know if your memory is refreshed after you review it, and I'll take that document back from you.
Your memory's refreshed?
Yes.
All right. What time did you arrive on scene?
2:20.
All right. And would your lapel camera video be at 2:20, start like at 2:20 when you arrive on scene?
It started when I first activated my lights and sirens, so when I was dispatched at 1:49.
Right, but when you arrive on scene, would it be 2:20 in the afternoon?
Yes, it would be.
Okay. So even though we can't see the actual time on your lapel cam, is this your lapel cam?
Yes, it is.
And would this accurately reflect what you are seeing around 2:20 or so in the afternoon?
Yes.
How do I know this is a gun?
That's the gun!
Okay.
And so you had testified earlier that this woman with the multicolored hair was the armor and she gave you the gun.
Yes.
If you could look at State's Exhibit 6 and ask, and I'll ask you if you recognize what's in the box. Do you recognize State's Exhibit 6?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
The gun that Hannah Gutierrez, the armorer, handed to me.
Now, what did you do with this gun once she handed it to you?
I took custody of it from her, and I walked it over to the passenger side of my unit, my Mark Sheriff's unit.
What did you do with it once you walked over to the Mark Sheriff?
I put it in the front seat, and I locked it.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 13. I haven't tendered 6 because we have other witnesses through whom we're
okay,
going to
okay, so 7.
Six.
And I thought you had 7 and 8 that
seven
you were going to...
7 and 8. Yeah, I haven't published yet.
Okay, but okay, those were admitted. Now you're doing 13.
13. Do you recognize what's on the screen there, Mr. Benavides?
Yes,
what is it?
It is a gun that's in front of me, and this is the gun that the armorer, Hannah Gutierrez, handed.
You testified that you put it in the front seat of your patrol vehicle?
Yes, I did.
Why did you put it there?
It was the most secure spot that I had control over at the time.
And what did you do to ensure that this gun was secure?
I locked the front. I locked my gun. Nobody entered it except for me.
Where was State's Exhibit number 13 taken? Where was this gun when this photo was taken?
Passenger side of my...
Why did you not stick it in an evidence bag?
It was so fluid, and the scene was so active. I put it there. It was secure there. That's where it stayed.
Did you do anything with this gun? Open it, open the cylinder, or anything at all once you received it from Ms. Gutierrez?
Yes. As soon as I got to my unit, I opened up the cylinder and I made it safe for myself and whoever else was going to handle it.
And when you say you made it safe, what do you mean by that?
I opened up the cylinder on this wheel gun and I ran the wheel to make sure there was no rounds.
And were there any rounds in?
There was no rounds in.
Did you do anything else to the gun?
I did not.
To your knowledge, did anybody else have access to this gun once you put it in your patrol vehicle?
No.
So what is the next thing you did after you secured the gun in your patrol car?
What I remember is I was talking to the armor, Hannah. I put her in back of my unit and I told her she wasn't under arrest. I kept the door open because the detectives needed to speak to her.
Now, did anybody have access to the front part of your patrol car?
They did not.
While this gun was in your possession, did you do anything, or to your knowledge, did anybody else touch it or do anything to it?
No.
Does Exhibit 13 accurately reflect the condition of the gun when it was handed?
Yes, it is.
Did you secure any other items of evidence?
I did. I secured 2 boxes of ammunition.
And where did you find those?
They were on a gray cart, which Hannah directed me to, that they were on a gray cart that were used for this gun.
All right, let's go to State's Exhibit 7, which has already been admitted.
Thank you.
Do you recognize that?
Yes, it is the gray cart that Hannah directed that the ammunition was on.
And where was that cart when it was you were directed to it?
My first lapel video where that gentleman directed me, walked me over, and he said none of these guns were used. This was the cart that he was talking about.
And where was this photo taken? Where was the cart when this photo was taken?
It looks like it was taken in front of my unit, in front of my in-car camera.
So was that cart moved from where you initially saw it to in front of your car?
Yes, it was.
Why?
Hannah had... she directed that the ammunition was there. So there was a gentleman that officer services, because I was dealing with Hannah, and I watched him bring the cart from where it was to me.
Does State's Exhibit 7 accurately represent the cart in the condition that you saw it when you first were directed to it?
Yes, it is.
And why did you move it to the front of your patrol car?
It was evidence. Hannah said that ammunition was on it, used in the church.
Is there another reason why you moved it to the front of your patrol car?
An eye on it to make sure nothing was taken, nothing was put.
Was anything capturing what would happen if anybody got close to this part?
To where it is right now, they would have captured from my in-car camera.
So do you have a dash camera?
Yes, a dash camera, yes.
So was the dash camera running and filming this cart as it's sitting there in front of your patrol car?
Yes, it was.
To your knowledge, did anybody come over to this cart and remove any items?
No, not when it was sitting there, no.
Why not collect the items instead of moving, or why not collect the items before you moved it?
I'm in a patrol car. I'm not in a van or anything that would fit the whole cart in a hole to secure.
I'm going to show you State's Exhibit 8, which has already been admitted. May I publish? Is that a close-up of the cart? What are we looking at? What was on the cart? What did you observe?
Loose ammunition, gun belts, a gun, various other items.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 9. May I, Your Honor, I move into evidence State's Exhibit 9. May I publish? Do you recognize that? It's State's Exhibit 9.
Yes.
What is it?
It is a wheel gun.
Is there anything else that you see there?
Car keys, there's loose ammunition.
And is this on the cart that we just saw?
Yes.
And again, what did you do to preserve this evidence?
Like I said, I kept it in front of my unit for my dash cam to capture if it got tampered.
Now, was there a perimeter established on this scene?
Yes, we did. We did a perimeter of yellow crime scene tape, and we tried to preserve everything that was in the church and everything that was out as in film.
Is that what we saw, the yellow tape around the cart? And to your knowledge, were people allowed into the area that was enclosed or encased by that yellow tape?
People were not. Unless you were a deputy.
And who came and collected this evidence? Do you know?
I believe our crime scene tech, Marissa Popple.
You testified that you observed some rounds. I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 10. Okay. I move into evidence State's Exhibit. Do you recognize those two rounds that we see there?
Yes.
How do you recognize them?
They were on the cart.
Did you touch them in any way or remove them from the cart?
I did.
Now, you told us you also seized some boxes of ammunition. And where did you take those from?
I took those physically from the cart.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibits 11 and 12.
Objection.
Your Honor, the state would move into evidence State's Exhibits 11 and 12. What are we seeing here on State's Exhibit 11?
That is the front driver's seat of my Mark Sheriff's unit, and there are two white boxes on my seat.
And where did you get those boxes from?
Took them from the car, from the gray car.
Why did you take those from the gray car?
Those were the two boxes that Hannah Gutierrez, the armor, told me that were.
Did you see what was inside those boxes?
I assume there were bullets.
Why remove just those boxes and not the other stuff on the cart?
Armor Hannah, she pointed those out, and those were the ammunition used for the gun.
Let me show you State's Exhibit number 12. Your Honor, I move into evidence State's Exhibit 12 and ask to publish. What is State's Exhibit 12, Mr. Benavides?
They are a close-up of the two white boxes.
And what kind of rounds are those?
Those rounds say 45 long Colt dummies.
Did you then turn these over to someone else, these boxes of ammunition? And who did you turn them over to?
Crime scene tech, Marissa Pop.
Let's go back to your lapel cam. You had testified earlier that you had placed Ms. Gutierrez in your vehicle. What happened to Ms. Gutierrez after we're seeing her here at 20 minutes and 8 seconds?
From this point, I took custody of the gun and we walked over to my Mark Sheriff unit.
I'm sorry, let me pause it there. This was the...
Where are they at?
I don't know his name.
I don't remember. I couldn't really hear her.
Okay, let's go back. And I apologize. It looks like the audio is a little behind the video.
Where are they at?
What were you referring to when you said, where are they at?
She was telling me about the rounds.
And where are you headed at this point at 20 minutes and 16 seconds?
That is my unit that I'm looking at right in front of me.
Yeah, that's not it.
Is that when you secured the gun in your vehicle?
That is the front of my unit on the passenger side. Yes, it is.
What is happening right now?
There was a helicopter just landed. Hannah's there on my right-hand side, and I'm watching the guy on the cart.
Is somebody bringing the cart to you at this point?
Yes, it was a gentleman. I didn't get it. I don't remember. I was bringing the cart.
Your Honor, did you want us to approach?
I leave the rounds here.
So, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, rounds here.
What's happening right here?
Hannah, as you can see, she's upset, visibly upset, and she's showing me where the rounds are.
And was it the same rounds that you put in your vehicle?
Yes, it is.
Just relax, okay? I just need you to relax. Just please relax, okay? Just take deep breaths and relax. Can somebody get water for her?
What other involvement did you have in this investigation, Mr. Benavides?
That's all the involvement, was just trying to control the scene and taking care of Hannah and taking care of the...
How long were you out there at the Bonanza Creek Ranch?
I didn't leave until about 8:30 that night, so about 6 hours.
May I have a moment? Mr. Benavides, do you know where the gun was from the time of the shooting of Ms. Hutchins and Mr. Souza to the time that it was given to you by Ms. Gutierrez?
I do not.
And do you know who handled that gun from the time of after the shooting to the time that it was given to you?
I do not, other than Hannah handing it to
me. May I have a moment?
Yeah, Your Honor. Good afternoon, sir. You know, when you get to the scene, you can hear yourself yelling in the lapel, "Where's the prop person?" Right?
Correct.
And when you get to the cart that we looked at, I think it's State's Exhibit 7.
Published that.
Fair to say that the cart was sort of disordered.
Oh, it was a mess.
And you don't know whether anybody moved anything before you got there, right?
I do not.
Okay. And you didn't see Sarah Zachary, the prop master, there, correct?
No, I don't know who that is.
And so when you first get to the prop cart, you eventually sort of leave it and go back to going to deal with other things, right?
Well, the gentleman that was there, he told me that the gun wasn't there. There was a lot of guns on that. There was a couple of guns on that cart, but he told me, I have to take him for his word because I wasn't there. He told me that the gun used in the church was not there.
Right, but there was, and you anticipated. There were other guns on that.
That is correct.
Okay. And you left those firearms and you left them there and you went to do what you did next, right?
Correct.
Okay. And, you know, in a typical homicide scene, right, you probably wouldn't be walking away from a firearm movie set, right?
That is correct.
And an empty prop gun without live ammunition.
I do not
Objection,
know, but...
Objection mischaracterizes the evidence.
I mean, other than if you drop the empty gun on your toe. You know, and then you go back to the armorer and she hands you the firearm, right?
Yes, they direct me to the armorer because I didn't know who the armorer was, and they directed me to her, and I asked her, "Is this the gun?" And she said yes.
And I can see you're wearing gloves as you're taking out the exhibit today. Right, you've got purple gloves on. Okay. I don't think you...
I didn't know if you wanted to see the gun or not.
No. Okay. But the reason I'm asking is, and I don't think you talked about this in direct, but the day you took the gun, you didn't weren't wearing gloves, right?
That is correct.
And but you were sort of careful when you took it. You took it without touching the trigger, so if somebody wanted to swab the trigger for air.
The way I handled it was trying to be as safe as possible because I didn't have a holster for it. So I was trying to hold it so I didn't pull the trigger because I didn't know if it was empty or loaded or not.
And because you handled it that way, also somebody could have swabbed the trigger for DNA, right?
I guess so.
Do you know if law enforcement ever swabbed the trigger for DNA?
I have no idea.
So there was a question posed to you about, you know, the prop gun got
it. Yes, when I cleared it at my unit.
But you don't know what happened exactly to the ammo that was in it at the time. No. And somebody told you that Dave, the firm of safety.
Objection, assumes facts, not in evidence.
Yeah. Just a question.
I don't know who Dave is. I don't remember any of their names to this day.
Okay. Well, do you remember somebody tell that the rounds were back?
I believe Hannah was talking to somebody and they directed it to that they were on the car.
That a male? And you don't know that was Dave Hall.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm going to refresh you in a moment on that. But while I'm doing that, I'm just going to move on for a second, which is the next time you see the cart, right? It's being brought to
in a different location, right? The cart gets moved.
Yes, from the first time I saw it, where that gentleman directed me to it, and he said that the gun used wasn't there until the gentleman brought it to me. Yes.
And you've said that ideally that's not how it got down, right?
Not at all. I was trying to improvise as much as I could.
There were eventually, when you get the prop cart back, the sort of third viewing of the prop cart, there was an
error. Yes, and that's what I saw when I first saw it.
And you saw it again when the cart came back, right?
Correct.
And at one point, you actually sort of reached down and touched something.
I believe I picked them up and put them down. I didn't know if they were live. I didn't.
And another civilian came over and picked one up and showed you one this and one was that, right?
Yeah, he explained real quick, which it didn't, you know, registered too much to me, but he was trying to instruct me what to look for, I guess.
And if I could just show the witness, I assume no objection.
We have no objection to admitting our own exhibit, so thank you.
Great.
Yes, I do.
And if you look sort of in the middle section, you know, two and two, the two and the two, okay. Can you tell which ones are dummies in live?
Right.
Where was the backup? No, you're talking about a lot in direct about how, you know, this happens and that happens. I was curious, where was backup?
Backup.
That's important, you know, reinforcements, sir, so that you didn't have to try to manage all.
So that day I had seven deputies, including myself, on duty here in Santa Fe County. I had Deputy LaFleur was a swing shift deputy, so he was coming into work. I believe he lives somewhere in Albuquerque. And he was coming into work when the call, and it was myself and the corporal who were available at the time. So there was only three of us, and the rest were northern part of the county and the eastern part of the county and the southern part.
Called backups for the state.
I did.
And they that request for backup was denied by supervisors, correct?
Yes, if I remember correctly, yes. I don't remember if they said they didn't have enough or they didn't have availability or the supervisor just said.
Didn't the supervisor say that they believed this would likely be unfounded and it was probably an accident?
Objection, Your Honor. Hearsay and assumes facts, not in evidence.
I have a question asking why backup didn't cut.
And rephrase. Thank you, guard. The question and the answer. Thank you.
Called for the state police, right? That would have been your supervisor's call.
My supervisor?
No. Whether or not that request,
no.
That would call.
That wouldn't have been.
Make that call direct.
I asked dispatch to talk to state police to see if they could send people to help with the scene.
The perimeter that you talked about did not include the prop truck. Correct?
Yeah, I didn't know what any of that was. I was just trying to take care of what happened in the truck.
Right. So, but just so that it's clear for the members of the jury, you later learned that cart that were rolls up and goes drop truck that housed the red firearm.
Objection,
right?
Speculation.
I did not know that.
No, I know you did. I know you're saying you didn't know that then. I'm saying you'd become aware later that there was a prop truck. Right?
Objection, hearsay and speculation.
I can just move on to another fetus. It's fair to say law enforcement wanted to find the origin of the bullet that struck Hutchins, right?
My personal involvement was just taking care of the evidence, and I don't know what happened after that.
Well, you collected those white boxes, right?
Yes.
Two white generic boxes, didn't you?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so, I mean, you wanted to, as I think you testified direct, find the source of the ammunition, correct?
Yes, whatever Hannah directed me to, yes.
And you wanted to talk to Hannah about this, correct?
I kept her for the detectives, yes.
She said, oh my God, fuck, I'm so sorry.
I did hear that on my lapel, yes.
Okay. Everyone's been yelling at her.
I did hear that in my lapel.
And you placed her in the police car, right?
In the back of my patrol car, yes.
Right. Nobody placed Mr. Baldwin in a police car, correct?
Objection, relevance.
Correct.
Now, you know, when you're at the scene talking to witnesses, which you can hear yourself doing on that lapel, you know, you're letting witnesses give you information, fair?
Yes.
You're not, you know, trying to put words in their mouth, right?
No.
You're not cutting them off.
I probably did some of them, but I tried to listen to them, yes.
Well, you're trying to look at the facts and circumstances and trying to figure out whether or not a crime occurred or whether this was an accident.
All I was trying to do was preserve the evidence for the detectives. That's all I was trying.
And you understood that the detectives were trying to rule out that it was a crime, correct?
Objection, speculation.
You understood with the detective that they were trying to figure out and rule out if this was a crime.
Well, that's our main function, is to see if there was a crime committed or not.
So you agree with me, right?
That's our main function as law enforcement, yes.
Okay. You don't know how the live bullet got on the movie set? You don't know why the armor loaded into the prop gun? She didn't tell you?
No, I do not.
And you don't know why the first AD failed to detect it?
The what?
The first assistant director, that guy Dave.
Oh, I do not.
Okay. And you still work for the Santa Fe Sheriff's Office?
Do I still work? No, I'm retired.
Okay. I have nothing further for this witness at this time.
All right, thank you. Redirect.
Yes, Mr. Benavides, you were shown State's Exhibit 26 on cross-examination. Do you know where those rounds that we see on 26 came from? You testified on cross-examination that this cart was disorderly, I believe is what you said. It was a mess.
Yes.
Was that cart in a place where it was visible to everybody who worked on that set?
Yep.
What was, if I'll rephrase, Your Honor, was it in a visible place?
Yep.
Why don't you describe where you saw it?
I believe it was next to a tent, and there was people all around.
Now, you were asked a question about leaving the cart, this prop cart, unattended. Did you leave it unattended where anybody would come and be able to remove and take things off it?
When I took custody, when I saw the gentleman bringing it
yes,
to
sir.
Front of my unit,
yes,
it
sir.
Stayed right there, and nobody messed with it.
Now, you were shown photos of the, let me show you State's Exhibit number 7. Showing you State's Exhibit number 9. Did you have any reason to believe that was a fake gun?
It was a movie set. I did not know if it was fake or real.
How about State's Exhibit number 6 that you have in front of you? When you took that into custody, did you have any reason to believe that that was not a real gun? Did you have any involvement in this prop truck that you were asked about?
No. At the time, I didn't.
Why did you place Ms. Gutierrez in the back of your police car?
She was the main person who that was handling the firearm, and common sense told me that detectives wanted to speak to her.
Were you asked about where to place Mr. Baldwin?
No. I believe Deputy LaFleur asked me, but there was so many witnesses on his side. I just told him to keep him separated from everybody and everybody.
Now, is the reason he was not placed in a police car because he wasn't a suspect?
At the time, I don't remember if somebody told... At the time, I don't remember if somebody told me he was handling the gun. I don't.
So he wasn't placed in a police car just because there were other reasons? I'll rephrase you. Now, Mr. Spiro asked you, you didn't place Mr. Baldwin in a police car, but you placed Hannah. Is it because Mr. Baldwin was different from Hannah, or was it other reasons?
It was other reasons. Like I said, Deputy LaFleur had a lot of people on his side of the movie set. So keeping one person in a police car, you got to watch them, and then you got to watch everybody else. So I was able to watch everybody all at once.
Have a moment.
All right, we're going to take our bathroom break. We'll be back at 3:15. Please don't talk among yourselves or anyone else about the evidence received here in court. Your Honor, Risa.
There's more to come in the Rust shooting trial against Alec Baldwin from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Press subscribe now.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own. Surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.